Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Let us consider two passages of Scripture, one from the New and one from the Old Testament. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, being made perfect, he became the author of salvation unto all them that obey him. In 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Dear friend, if we could summarize with one word the sum total of man's duty to the Lord, the major word would likely be obedience. Solomon said to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. And in this short lesson, we want to investigate what it means to obey God. The principles of obedience to God have been the same in every dispensation, even though the specific commandments have varied. The principles of obedience for Abraham and Noah and David and Joshua, the people on Pentecost, the Ethiopian, and for us, have been the same. We will not deal so much with specific commandments in this lesson, but with the principle of obedience to God. First, let us turn to the dictionary and see what is said of obedience. It simply means to execute the commands of or to carry out what is directed, to do as directed or commanded. When an officer in the army gives an order to a soldier, and that soldier does what he is told to do, we say he has obeyed the command of the officer. When a father gives certain instructions to his son, and the son does what the father has directed, we say he has obeyed the father. But friend, there is a necessary difference between obeying the directions given by an officer or by a parent and rendering acceptable obedience to God. And this difference is very, very significant. For instance, if the father told his son to mow the lawn, the son may well get the mower, he may mow the lawn, he may not have done it however willingly. He may have fussed and pouted all the way while he was mowing, but he mowed the lawn, but his heart was not in it. And we may say he obeyed the Lord, but he certainly did not do it willingly. The soldier may well have done as the officer commanded, but if he had had his way, he never would have done it. He did not want to please the officer, but felt he had to do what he was told nonetheless. He did not do what he did with a willing heart. The point is, obedience to God, and obedience that is pleasing to God, must be done with the right motive and from the heart. The attitude, as well as the action, must be in conformity with His will. And this leads us to the first of four qualities of obedience to God that we wish to observe. We must obey God from the heart, doing what one does willingly. You know, people sometimes talk about heartfelt religion. They often mean something that's just highly emotional. But the heartfelt religion of the Bible is when the heart, the mind of man, obeys God sincerely and voluntarily. True New Testament Christianity springs from the heart, or it's not true New Testament Christianity. Romans 6, 16 and 17, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But now notice this next statement. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Oh, genuine obedience to God cannot be forced. It must come from within before it is real. It may even be painful at times to obey, but still, what we do must be done willingly. Sometimes it may be painful to follow the directions of a doctor. but we do what he tells us willingly because we know that it is what must be done. It is not always easy to say, I was wrong, I am sorry, I must change. It is not always easy to be shunned by former friends and even family in order to stand with God. But we must do so sincerely and willingly, if that be required of us. God wants my heart. He wants your heart. He does not really possess my life until he has the heart and the mind and the will. Closely related to this point, obedience to God must come from the right motive. Friend, we may do the right act, the very outward act that God requires, and still fall short of properly obeying him. To obey men may be accomplished by just doing the right act, like mowing the lawn, regardless of the attitude. But our motive and attitude is important in our obedience to God. Action and attitude are a part of Christianity. For example, one man may hit your head with his elbow and your head hurts. But it was an accident. He didn't intend to do it. Another may hit your head with his elbow, but he did it deliberately. The first man apologizes while the second man is glad that he did what he did. Now the head is hit and it hurts both times. But who cannot see the difference between these two episodes? The difference is the motive behind the deed. Again, two men may be on trial for taking another's life. If one is set free, while the other goes to the gas chamber, what is the difference? Well, one did what he did because of an unavoidable accident and possibly even through self-defense. The other man acted out of malice and animosity and premeditated hatred. Motive made the difference. Now, there's not any of us cannot see this distinction. We can do wrong in action while the heart or motive is pure and right. And we can do right in action even with an evil and sinister motive. God knows the heart. God knows the motive as well as the action, and both of them count with him. Simon, the former sorcerer of Acts chapter 8, wanted to buy apostolic power. Peter said his heart was not right. Now, the power he wanted was not evil, but his motive made him impure. Ananias and Sapphira gave liberally to the Lord, but their motive was evil, which prompted them to lie about what they had given. We read of King Saul, who gave David a Michal, his daughter, for David's wife, but he hoped she would be a snare unto him. Oh, the action seemed noble and generous, but the motive was evil. Peter drew his sword to protect Christ. His action was out of place, and Christ rebuked him. But who can doubt the sincerity of motive at that point in the life of this apostle? Therefore, to obey God, our intent, our purpose, the motive behind the deed must be considered. It matters with God. And again, we cannot obey God without a certain amount of correct information. Christianity, friend, is a taught religion, John 6:44-45. Matthew 28:18-20 urges us to teach the gospel. Everybody needs to be taught. We cannot obey right if we have been taught wrong. Doing what we do to obey God may be a good motive, but unless that which we do is what God wants done, we do not do with an understanding. It is not obedience as the Bible requires. Now, in Acts chapter 18, Apollos came to Ephesus teaching John's baptism, and John's baptism was a part of the preparatory work for the coming of Christ. Now, what Apollos did not know then was that John's baptism was no longer valid because the Lord had already come. Those who did what Apollos was telling them to do had to be baptized again, Paul thought, because they had not obeyed right when they had a faulty information and their actions were founded on error, not truth. Indeed, those people obeyed, or at least did what they did and thought they obeyed, to please God. But they did not have the right understanding. Please take note what the Apostle Paul showed must be done. They had to obey by doing the right thing with a proper understanding. When people are baptized today, They may even obey the right manner, that is, be immersed, because that's what baptism is, after all. But they must have the correct information concerning their actions in order to obey from the heart, which is the seat of understanding. One cannot be taught that he's saved before baptism and obey the New Testament command, because the New Testament never teaches baptism comes after salvation. It teaches baptism is necessary to salvation, all the denominational clergymen notwithstanding. One cannot be baptized to join some denomination and claim Bible baptism, because the Bible never teaches about any denomination and never authorizes the existence of anyone of the denominations, past, present, or future, let alone that one is baptized to join one of them. Now, the action may outwardly appear good. The intentions may be sincere, but the understanding makes the action of no value. Oh, I should say, the misunderstanding makes the action of no value. But obedience obviously demands the actual doing what God says must be done. Even with correct information and proper motive and the willingness to obey, obedience must include the actual doing of what is commanded. One illustration of doing is what is commanded is when the blind man went to the pool of Siloam and washed his eyes as Jesus directed in John chapter 9. He went willingly. He went with the right motive. He went with the right information. And he acted as he was directed. That man obeyed, and he went on his way seeing. The Jews on Pentecost, after hearing Peter present the irrefutable evidence that Jesus was both Lord and Christ, and after they had asked what they must do to be saved, being willing to obey, and then having received from Peter the proper information, repent and be baptized, 3,000 of them, having the right motive, did what they were commanded to do. They repented, they were baptized, they were blessed with the forgiveness of sins, they were obedient. Now, friend, these four principles of obedience have always been involved. We must obey God to be saved. When we obey God, we're not earning our salvation. We're coming to receive the gift that He offers. Christ will save, but He saves those who obey Him. How dare anybody suggest that we can be saved and ignore obedience to the commands of the Lord? We cannot reject His commands and expect His rewards. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14:15. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke 6:46. Obedience means then doing the right thing with a proper understanding, for the right motive, the right way, the heart converted submissively to the will of God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.